So we're all in the middle of this thing, aren't we? This COVID-19. And so I want to welcome all of you to this gathering today. I'm calling it a gathering because it's a place to share. And COVID-19 is certainly creating chaos, stress, and challenge. But here's something to remember, that challenging times stretch us. They actually strengthen us and can actually bring us closer together, even though we may be not close together. It's been said by the philosopher Heraclitus that nothing changes, endures but change. And I think that's something we really have to keep in mind here, that even though we'd like things to stay the same, the only thing we can really count on is change.
Yeah.
So many of us are being, and Governor Cuomo once said the other day, this will be a transformative experience. We won't get over this. We'll never get back to normal, but we will find a new normal. And I think that's one of the hopes for all of us. Everybody says, well, let's get back to normal. We can't get back to what was. So we'll be inventing something new as we go along.
What?
So many of us are being affected. Many of us are being affected physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And while we're also supporting our clients through the same stressors that we're having. And so today is a time for coming together while staying apart. So what we're going to be doing today is, there are so many on the call that we can't hear everyone's voices. So please, if you're not used to this, go up to the top of your screen and bring open the chat box. And that way, I'll be asking a number of questions. It'll be our way for more people to share. And so please use the chat box, and I'll certainly be going back and forth from what I'm doing to the chat box. And I know some of you may have sent some questions in to Amy, and if you have, I'm sure we'll get to those. But feel free to share your questions and your comments as we go through some of these. As you saw in the invitation, there were a number of topics, and if we get going right with this, we can cover all of these topics in a way. So I'd like to start with the first topic on the list. And the first topic on the list was self-care, that I'm putting on the list, and I think it was on your list as well, self-care for coach and client. You know, so often self-care gets put at the bottom of the list. How often have you worked with clients and you ask them, where's their self-care on their priority list? And I hear a variety of responses. What priority list? As if there isn't one. Or I'm at the bottom. And so therefore we keep putting it off and we don't get the opportunity to put ourselves at the top. So I think it's important that we be at the top of the list, because in this time of stress, if we don't take care of ourselves first, we may not be available to offer the support and care that we'd like to offer to others. And so we can go to that old motto that everybody reminds us of on the airplane, put on the oxygen mask first. So my first question to all of you, and please have your chat box open and just type away. How are you taking care of yourself during this time? So feel free to start typing away. You know, everyday walking, yes, and lots of water, absolutely. Mindfulness meditations, great. More time reading and learning on new topics. Yeah, yoga, journaling, walking, playing with puppies, great. Breathing, oh yeah. Try alternate nostril breathing sometimes. Hot tub, wine, walks, reaching out to friends. Eating well, there you go. Exercising, dialogue list, art, yeah. you stop watching the White House news. Absolutely. I want sleep. Depends on the day. Some are better than others for self-care. Isn't that the truth? And then, thanks, Matthew. Mourning what is gone. Yeah. So not pretending you don't have something to grieve. And we're going to get to that topic later. Healthy dinners. Yard work. There you go. Acknowledging what is gone. Listening to the birds. Yes. Honoring what your emotions are. And allowing the grief to be very real. Yep. This is something, by the way, when I introduce it a little later, hasn't taken on as much emphasis in the media about mourning and grieving. Walking around the pool, smelling the spring flowers. Yes, nutritional habits. Thank you all. These are wonderful responses. I've also heard, if you've been watching, praying and listening to Christian music, okay, sticking with a routine. I've also heard that the sales of jigsaw puzzles have gone up tremendously. And in fact, I'm trying to think of where it was. It was the mayor or the governor of one place gave people the ability to go out and buy a jigsaw puzzle. But of course, they had to keep their social distancing. So jigsaw puzzles, doing all kinds of puzzles, Sudoku, crossword puzzles, things that occupy your mind. So some new ideas. So as you think about this list of ways that you're now taking care of yourself, what else do you need for you during this time that perhaps you're overlooking? Okay. Meditation is tough and it's hard to be still. More structure, yeah. Space for yourself and also connection with others. Absolutely. What else do you need for you? Encouragement. From your family, time with your grandson, finding new meaning, girl talk with friends. There you go. Patience. Financial assurance. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah. Comes to the top of your mind. Chatting with friends. Yes. Miss one-on-one personal time with friends. Finding joy in every day. Yeah. Boy, if you put that on your priority list, where do I find
David, are you on the phone?
Joy?
Can't drive a minute.
Say again? Somebody was on. A nice cold drink at a bar. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Peace with the unknown. I was talking with a mentee this morning, and he's in a southern state. And of course, their tourism has been decimated and all their bars are closed and everything. And what they did in his town, this is amazing. They have asked the bartenders to sign up. And so while you're at home having a drink with people in your own home or you're sitting on your balcony and having, you know, drinks for people across the way and all this kind of stuff, they said you can still tip a bartender. And so they've created this thing that you can choose a bartender and send them a tip while you're having your drink. So there, that's keeping the bartenders with some income coming in. I thought that was a rather interesting idea to do. And yes, isn't that supportive? So considering how can I make a positive impact in the changing world? Yeah. So how do we balance encouraging our clients to come to coaching as part of their own self-care with letting go if our clients ask to postpone because they're not in the right mindset dealing with chaos? What I'm finding is it's more often that people are having difficulty with the financial end of it. So that is, and so what can you do? So that's another way of looking at it. how can you encourage your clients, support your clients when their finances are going down the tubes? And what do you want to do? How do you want to support your clients? I know some coaches right now are creating sort of free, if you will, group sessions to get together, sort of like we're doing here. So for people to share. But, you know, perhaps reducing meetings, Susan, would be another thing if they can't, because they can't have, they're not focusing on themselves. The other thing that I've seen with clients and with students is so many have also had to take on the responsibility now of entering into homeschooling in some way. And as I've had some people say, I didn't sign up as a parent to be the teacher of my children. So you can certainly encourage people to, you know, if you need to reduce your sessions, then reduce them. But we're here. What would you, and to ask them, what do they need for them? That's always a great coaching question. What do you need for you right now? What other ideas do some of you have for that question that Susan posed? Go ahead and answer, type in some answers, if you will. Remain available, absolutely, Rochelle. Anyone else? Offer blogs or information, yeah. You had to reduce a client by half, absolutely. Yes, you have to be aware of not holding on to your own ego and your financial needs, because letting go is important. Absolutely, Alyssa. Let them know they're in charge of this decision and you're here when they need you. Great. Let clients pause. Absolutely. Be available to coach for free now. Perhaps you want to say, you know, I'm going to be here for 10-minute check-in or a 15-minute check-in. I don't know. What are some ideas? Because you, what you're saying is, I want to be available and support my clients, but things are different. Offer longer payment plans. Yeah, or keep the payments the same, but add a few bonus sessions for free or half off. Yeah. Can often offer a free session and add value. Actually, your coaching is great value. Serve them powerfully so that they can see that coaching is actually beneficial, right? And as you talked about it, the client went on. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you all for these ideas. So back to this idea of self-care, because some of people are cutting back because of their own self-care. They have to do it to clear their heads for their financial reasons, etc. But what are your clients telling you about how they're taking care of themselves or not? What are you hearing from clients or your friends or family members? Yeah, so, okay, you run with your daughter early, so you aren't facing crowds. Some are actually enjoying the respite, yes. Some are overwhelmed and don't know how to address everything. A lot of them are not. I try to get them to wrap one new self-care habit in after they speak to me, then follow up to make sure they have, okay. Watching silly movies and eating cookies. Well, now there's an idea. I guess that last part you have to pay attention to, right? How many are you eating, right? Some people are very lonely, yes. Bonding and nurturing family relationships. I had someone the other day say, you know, I'm so used to face-to-face meetings like in the organization she works for and everything, but I'm finding being able to be on Zoom or the phone, I don't have to travel so much. So that's one way I'm starting to take care of myself, is I'm going to put more meetings on one of these platforms or on a phone call, Bridgeline, and that we are as effective. Yes, you make your family even Zoom with you in FaceTime. Yes, absolutely. I had on Easter Sunday, I have 12 grandchildren. So, and then between their parents and everything, we had 20 some of us on a Zoom call. It was hellacious. It was unbelievably fun. Yes, clients are trying to balance everything, set up a home office, trying to put structure. Virtual happy hours, right. And game nights. Somebody was saying she played a game with her nephew long distance. Yeah, asking clients to write down a list of their priorities to empower them. Yeah, trying to get your clients to Zoom for a while now that they're realizing how easy it is. Or using the phone, whichever you prefer. I've been doing that most of my work on the phone and Zoom and whatever for 20-some years now. And what clients tell me is that they can be more open, actually, on one of these other ways rather than being face-to-face. Oh, Marco Polo is an app some people are using. Great. As a coach, how are you encouraging your clients to put themselves at the top of the self-care priority list? A coaching question you can always ask, what do you need for you right now? Reminding them if they don't have energy for themselves, they won't have any to give. Absolutely. Can only give to their people what they do for themselves. Yeah, use the reserve or reserve examples. Works like a dream. Yeah. Create versus react. Wonderful. Listen to that. Yeah. What do you need for you right now? I had a client talking about the difference the other day between self-care and self-soothing. And I think during this time, some of us need some self-soothing too. So how do you take care of you? How do you really soothe yourself when things feel so out of balance? Yeah. Helen was saying, pour in as much as you pour out of yourself. Yes, there's a balance. How do you keep refilling your oil lamp so you are full to overflowing? It's in the overflow that there is altruism. Then you can give freely without draining yourself. So let's move on to our next topic. And our next topic is so visible. And yet, oftentimes it's hidden because people try to deny their emotions of what I call the emotional roller coaster. Things like anxiety, fear, and PTSD. And then for some also, we can look at, we'll look at it in a moment, what often you see too is courage by so many of our citizens has been all over the news, our medical care professionals, the people in the grocery stores, our first responders, and I could go on and on and on. But before we get into this dialogue further, I know I included PTSD along with anxiety and fear. And for those of you who don't really know what PTSD is, I'd like to give a very brief definition. I know we all have a sense, we've heard PTSD so often. But yeah, how is it defined? And so what I'm going to share with you comes out of what's called DSM-4, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders. But what I'd like you to do is please listen to the words as they give you a window into the experience of many people around us, perhaps even including you. So PTSD is a disorder or a time in which a person experienced, witnessed, or was confronted with an event or events that involved actual or threatened death or serious injury, or a threat to the physical integrity of self or others. And the person's response involved intense fear, helplessness, or horror. So I just want you to hear these words, because to be quite truthful, I don't know that we're all at the D part, but we're all going through, and I don't know if we're in the post, so we might say we're in an acute stress disorder right now. But for some people, it will last longer and it may become the PTSD. But I think we're all there. I think we're all experiencing some of the uncertainty, some of the hyper alertness, some of these things that you're seeing in your clients, in your friends, your family members, and as I said, with yourself. So thanks for sharing, Helen, and that you have been diagnosed with PTSD and MDD in 2007, and that learning to manage that has helped you to become a better you. Absolutely. And Chantel, you're working with first responder with PTSD. Absolutely. This kind of event stirs that up to a great degree. And it reminds me to a large degree of some of what was going on back at 9/11. Shortly after 9/11, I wrote an article that appeared in Choice Magazine. I believe it's in our student library. It's called Gear Shift, the Top 10 Reasons to Refer to a Mental Health Professional. So I encourage you to find that. If not, you can, I have a copy. I'm happy to send it to anyone of that article. But it gives you some things to look for. Like I just named a couple, the hyper alertness, not sleeping well, interrupted sleep, startle responses, just to name a couple of things that are happening and may be happening to a lot of us. So be on the lookout for it. We're not diagnosing people with it, but take a look for the signs of anxiety, fear, or PTSD. So what signs are you experiencing during this time of crisis? Now, please go ahead and type some of your responses. Poor sleep, absolutely. Hearing that a lot. Anxiety, absolutely. Fear, yeah. Sleep disturbance, lack of focus. Yes, I've heard a lot of that lack of focus. My mind just can't focus. What else? Strange dreams, absolutely. Hot flashes. Developing dry skin on your scalp. That's an interesting one. Yeah. What's it? How's it changing your physiology, your chemistry? Less energy. Stress-related feelings of helplessness. Absolutely. Compulsive and excessive talking, yes. Hyperactive, yes, Esther. Feeling if I do more. Increased blood pressure, absolutely. So this is where some of those self-care things can be of service. Heart palpitations, right? If I exercise more, if I eat well, if I meditate or take time for myself or prayer, whatever you use, how can that assist my physiology? To help bring down my blood pressure, because we don't want your blood pressure going up. So what signs are you noticing in your clients of anxiety, fear, or PTSD? Anger and frustration, yes. Rapid talking, yep. Denial, tears, more tears, absolutely. Frustration and fear, don't have clients yet, but family members had a big fight. There you go. Yeah, people being frozen, or the other word you might come up with is people feeling numb. That's one of the signs, by the way, of PTSD too. Feelings of hopelessness, purposelessness, absolutely. Yeah, things are off kilter. They're kind of floating out there. And what do I hang on to? How do your clients, family members, friends describe what is going on for them? Ah, they beat themselves up for not doing what needs to get done. They're not giving themselves a break, are they? Chaos, disbelief. Yes, I've heard that word surreal numerous times. Suicidal thoughts. Okay, so make sure that that person gets some good follow-up from someone. Is it just thoughts of death or is it real suicidal ideation? There's a difference. You have single clients and they feel frustrated that they'll never find a partner because of this. Yes, I've been hearing that too. The overwhelm by homeschooling and continuous Zoom. Yeah, everybody's moved to Zoom now, you know, and there was some negative articles that came out, I think, last week about it. People breaking into Zoom meetings. So here's hoping we don't get anyone coming on doing anything weird. But that sense of overwhelm, the fear of no end in sight. Absolutely. So here's a question for all of you. What's it like to listen to what your clients are telling you as you're going through some of these same things yourself? What's it like for you to listen to what your clients or family members or friends are saying? Yes, thank you. Elko, it was very, very draining to hear their pessimistic outview. As long as you're grounded, it's reassuring to know I'm not alone. Absolutely. But you put a nice caveat in there. It's about taking care of you and being grounded. So great. It's confirming in some ways we're all in this together. Absolutely. So it resonates on various personal levels. Yeah, it's there you go. That, Debbie, what an interesting insight. It's harder to hold strict boundaries, like on chiming in with personal connections, right? Boy, it pulls you into that wanting to take care of, doesn't it? So beware of that, because we don't want to rush into that. You feel compassion and look for opportunities to ignite a spark of hope. Feeling equally helpless, yeah. Debbie says, it actually helps me because it validates my darkest feelings, and then I can pivot my own feelings to help them work through their own thoughts. That's interesting, isn't it? When I work with others, that's that interdevelopmental stuff, isn't it? When I work with others, it feeds me too. I learn something, or I can see, oh, wow, you know, that's where they are, and that you're so appreciative that they can share. Yeah, Sharon, it has happened before in history and previous pandemics did end. Yes, we're all here because at some point they ended. So yeah, it's sometimes very difficult to hold that line, to make sure there's that bright light between where I end and my client begins. It's always important to keep that bright light there. Yeah, so Rochelle says to continue to push to look for opportunities or the silver lining in the whole. Yeah, what's my favorite word? Those of you that have classes with me know this. One of my favorite words is the blessing. How can I look within myself for the blessing? Blessing, B-L-E-S-S-O-N in this situation. I'm stealing it from Joan Borisenko years ago. And it stands for what is the blessing or gift in this situation? And what can I learn? What's the lesson here? So notice how we can continue to grow. And so even with all of this happening, we see many acts of courage. Oh, wait, let me just back up here. I forgot this slide. Yeah. How can we manage fear and anxiety and PTSD? As a coach, from a coaching perspective, it's normalize and support the expression of whatever is being experienced. It's worse to hold it in. Okay, so encourage your clients to name it, whatever's going on for them, to talk about it, get it out. When you get it out of your body, it's much easier to deal with because that can reduce the intensity of it. There's nothing that you can do that will take it away. That's not your job as a coach. But to name it, to talk about it, can reduce your anxiety. Yeah, so Deborah's saying she always asks her clients what blessings they're finding in what's happening right now. Great. Just heard a talk where the coach called it Corona good. Okay. So, I have my little circle spinning on my screen for the moment. Oh, here we go. So here's a definition of courage that I like to use. If courage is the quality shown by someone who decides to do something difficult or dangerous, even though they may be afraid, okay? Fear is therefore for people that have courage. And we have seen that over and over and over. Yeah, so Helen, what an interesting thought. What story do you want to tell your family 10 years from now about how you grew through this? Very wonderful question to ask. So what acts of courage are you noticing? A lot of mask making, yeah. One of my students the other day was telling me how she's making masks. Food deliveries. Okay, Ashley, your sister made 65 masks for a food bank. How wonderful. You have a baby in your family, so we take photos of everything from mails to Zoom gatherings, planning to create an album for the 16 months to view when older, yes. The courage of the healthcare workers who are retired and going back to work, crossing state lines to help out. Yeah, absolutely. Those first responders, our sanitation workers, our retail workers, checking in on elderly neighbors. Your graduate students are writing encouraging letters to elderly and healthcare workers. Yes. Sometimes when we step out of our comfort zones, we allow ourselves to grow. Yes. That courage we show during this time will put us in a different space. So I'd like to really just honor each one of you here that as a person, you're working with clients all the time. That takes courage when you're going through some of the exact same things. You are showing up. You are listening. And that is like an incredible gift. I was taught many years ago when I first started in my postgrad work in psychotherapy, that showing up and just listening is one of the greatest gifts you can give another human being. So you're doing that every day or whenever you do it. And that is courageous because you're going through some of the same things your clients are. So I just want you all to honor yourself in that way. Yeah, Michael, neighborhood happy hours on the driveways. Absolutely. I saw a picture that was on the news one night of some older ladies in their apartment building, and they wanted to maintain the social distancing. So they had their happy hour with each person sitting in the doorway to their apartment. And they could talk out loud, but they were not coming close. I thought, well, that's a clever way to do that, you know? I've also, volunteer by making check-in phone calls. I'm very grateful for my local co-op. It's a grocery. that they will shop for me and give me a bag of my groceries or even deliver it to my home. And that to me is courageous. They're showing up, they're volunteering to do that. What do you think allows someone to act courageously? Choice. Yes, Ashley. Yeah. What else do some of you come up with when you think about that? A purpose beyond themselves. Absolutely. Not allowing fear to take over and looking inside deeper. Fear also can allow one to act courageously. So character and hope. Gratitude. Absolutely. Selflessness, support, life purpose. Taking small steps to a larger goal, making a plan, absolutely. Belief. What can be the gift? A clear vision, thank you. What can be the gift of acting courageously? Yes, connection to others. That is a great one. Ah, yes, it tends to bring out the best in people sometimes. Feeling rewarded and reduced anxiety. You grow as a human being. You extend your comfort zone. Your own increased self-esteem. How about that? Yeah, rewarding feeling. Doing something without expectations. Absolutely, Ezra. A sense of accomplishment. Intestinal fortitude. You consider this very courageous. I'm volunteering with some friends to take over a butterfly garden, which is normally maintained by elderly volunteers. We're going to take over until this passes for them. It lets us friends see each other too while we garden. What a lovely thought. Thank you, Rochelle. So look at all of these different ways. And you still have your masks on. Absolutely. Please do. And gloves too. So another topic that I mentioned early on that's not getting as much attention as I thought it would, and it's coming out more and more now, the longer we go, is about loss and grief. We're experiencing so many losses in our lives right now. Loss of physical freedom, loss of jobs, loss of physical connection with family and friends. And I think this one is particularly sad, of not being able to be with someone. And as they go into the hospital or the ICU or getting intubated, and you can't be there and say goodbye if it needs be. As one person said in the news, in one of the programs I had listened to, is we are losing our rituals. Rituals such as birthday celebrations, graduations, weddings, worship services, and funerals. And just as a reminder, rituals speak the language of the soul. They give life meaning and connect us with one another. And so the experience of loss is profound during this time. So, with loss, there is always a grieving process. Depending on the importance or severity of our loss will certainly affect the degree of grieving. But what's important to remember is that grieving is normal and natural. It doesn't mean you need therapy. And by the way, coaching is a great way to deal with grief. And we have some coaches around that's their specialty area, actually, working with people in the grieving process or people that are in the last stages of their life or their families. And so working with someone that's going through grief, it can be very, very rewarding. It's not about, hey, what are you going to do next week and how are you going to get there? No, it's about listening. What's important to you? What do you need now? How are you taking care of you? And then as the grief, as they are allowed to express what's going on in each stage, eventually they come to a place where perhaps they will start creating a future and not just get over a past. Wow, that's interesting, Michelle. You were part of an online funeral. It wasn't the same as in person, but certainly much better than nothing. Ken Druck is outstanding, not trying to sell him at all, just saying this is an excellent resource for people like us. Another resource in this is a person named Don Eisenhower. And I know there are other people that this is their specialty area. How wonderful. So just as a reminder of the stages of grief, and by the way, you can find this written up in many different forms in many different places, but I happen to like this one. It had something interesting to me. The first three are very similar: denial, anger, and bargaining. And feelings of depression, that does not necessarily mean clinical depression. It just means you're feeling down and awful and yucky. Then experimenting with new ideas, then acceptance, and notice number seven, finding a new status quo or a new reality or new normal. Yes, Susan. Susan was mentioning in the chat box, she had a good friend that lost her sister to COVID. And in the phone call, she's just trying to hold space. Yes, she talks, laughs, reminisces, right? Cries, and you don't have to say or interject or shift the focus to the positive, just staying with their inner moments. That is the greatest gift. People need to process what they're going through. And just giving them that space, that's why I love to call coaching sacred space, that it's spaciousness, it gives clients, and it's one of my favorite definitions of coaching. It comes from Palmer, who says, love is the willingness to create the space in which someone is allowed to change. That's what we're doing. So thank you for that. So what losses, we're all experienced, you made it through a rough personal time during the 2008 downturn, right? Which gave you some preparation for now to be more positive and confident. Absolutely. So there are all forms of losses. What losses are you experiencing? Oh, sure, Helen, I'll repeat that. Love is my favorite, actually, definition of coaching, and it was not written for coaching, but I've used it for that. Love is the willingness to create the space in which someone is allowed to change. Last name of the author is Palmer. So just very quickly, what are some losses you or your clients are reporting on? Loss of freedom, yes, that's a big one. Normalcy and routines. I had one woman say, you know, I miss going to the grocery on Fridays. This was early on and she was in a compromised situation. Loss of going to the gym, yeah, jobs. Extroverted clients especially are missing the physical human connection, absolutely. Loss of privileges in business. Really hugging your grandkids, absolutely. Physical contact, yeah. Loss of one-on-one time with friends, absolutely. Seeing your grandson, absolutely. Loss of dating, yeah. Privacy. Yeah, a lot of people are staying at home and they're looking for, when do I get a moment of peace and quiet, right? So how can you be of service to your clients during their grieving process? And we've gotten some hints already from people that have been writing. Listening, there you go. Belong to, validate their feelings. Yeah, absolutely. Listen with compassion, right? That's the big one, isn't it? Just be present. Be there to let them feel their grief and provide resources. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you need to be aware of as a coach? Yeah, acknowledge and validate. Yep. What do you need to be aware of as you work with clients so you don't get enmeshed in what's going on with them? Yeah, Susan, you were pointing towards it so you don't fall into their emotions. I hinted at it a little while ago that it's so important to keep that, yeah, aware of how you're showing up as a coach. Self-awareness, that's great. There always needs to be a bright light, as I call it, between you and your client. The minute there's no bright light, now you have moved from empathy, compassion, into sympathy. And that is now contaminating the whole coaching relationship. So it's so important that you stay in empathy. So Alyssa, you want to avoid measuring yourself by how much they want to talk. Yeah. Being there without pushing for more conversation. Center before speaking. Be sure to practice your own self-care. Right. That allows you to be more present. That's filling your oil lamp, so to speak. But above all, please do not think as a coach that you're there to rescue or pull them out of something, because you can't do that. Don't take their reactions personally, absolutely. Don't get attached to the outcomes, yeah. Don't compare your desires with theirs, that's it. So let's move on quickly here, that we want to take a look at the role of the coach. So just some ideas here. You don't own the agenda, right? Have your own outlets. Perfect. So the role of the coach, it's important that you always stay in the coaching frame. Don't move into consulting, mentoring, or counseling. Keep that frame very clear. Stay in coaching, please. The client, one thing that you'll probably notice if you haven't noticed already, when a lot of clients are coming for coaching now, they probably don't have a very clear desired outcome. And that's okay. Most people at this point are looking for someone to listen. They want clarity. And so to get that, I know when we set the agenda, we're always looking for, you know, what's your topic? What do you want to take away from the call? Most of the time it's going to be clarity or comfort or a place to just say whatever I need to say. Yes, using silence. I love this. Magic can happen in the silence. In fact, there's a saying in coaching, some of you know, let silence do the heavy lifting. Let silence be there. Let the client be in their moment. What's important for you, too, is to stay in the present and have an eye on the future, okay? Towards coaching goes from the present to the future. Now, there's a caveat here, because so many people are grieving something. A lot of times they go to the past to reminisce, to really share experiences they've had, and that is perfectly fine. You don't want to close them down because of that. because but you're not focusing on the past of in a way that's going to hinder the coaching. That what you're doing is giving them the space so they can continue to move forward. So let's see here. Yeah, and I mentioned there, be empathic and not sympathetic. So that's one of your roles as a coach. Or some of your roles as a coach. Here's another role for you, to be the receiver and the container without judgment of what the client says. You're also, here's something that I've learned over the years, that as a coach, I become the witness to my client's life. That that coaching in the coaching space is a place where they can say whatever they need to say. We're a witness without judgment. You know, Susan Sarandon said in a movie many years ago, Shall We Dance was the movie with Richard Gere and J-Lo and whatnot. And in one scene in the movie, she said, everyone needs a witness to their life. Someone that can appreciate them, that someone understands them. And I think as a coach, that's one of our main functions. That of being a witness to our clients and what's going on in their life. Obviously, be supportive, be spacious, and give the client time to reflect and think. There's no rush here. There's no hurry. Where are you going? It's about being with. Okay, there's some things coming up over here. Life coaching is different from business coaching. Sometimes lines might blur during the pandemic. Not sure what that means. And yes, as Marilee Goldberg Adams says, we're going to ask curious questions, be a learner, not a judger. Absolutely. It's part of being a witness, isn't it? So let's, I want to, so some primary coaching skills to use. This is just going to, the heart of things. Listen, listen, and then listen some more. That's your primary function right now. I mean, it's always there to listen. But I think in these times when people are experiencing so much, listening is your best skill set. Then ask questions to clarify so you truly are hearing the client's perspectives and their experiences. For sure, share what you're observing or perceiving because it can provide some clarity. And then listen some more. Yeah, listening is especially important to those that are quarantined alone, yes. Empathy is feeling with. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone. Yes, some good stuff up there from Michelle. My understanding is empathy is more of standing with someone. So being that witness, okay, their experience, but sympathy is feeling sorry for someone else, which can imply they don't have the internal resources to handle things. Nice distinction there. Yeah, so sympathy is feeling for, empathy feeling with. But keep that bright line between the two of you. Don't let that get enmeshed. That's, remember in one of the core competencies, it says we need to be able to manage our own feelings and not get enmeshed with our clients' feelings. So that's an important thing for us to remember. So what other ideas do any of you have coaching skills or the role of the coach? Absolutely. Business is, you know, just because it's in the business doesn't mean it's not personal. Most executives that I've worked with by coaching session 4 or 5, they're talking about personal stuff. They may start out as all business, but how can you separate the business from the personal? You're one person, it's your job. Just like you as a coach, you can't separate your coaching from who you are as a person. So self-management, I mentioned this, it's one of the core competencies. Manage yourself. When you're with a client though, it's their time. So what's important is to be fully present and aligned with your client on their same wavelength. Have someone you can talk with, a colleague or mentor. You need time to debrief and share yourself. That's how we can manage ourselves. Give to ourselves what we're giving to others. I'm thinking it would be great to have like a group coaching for coaches. And I've been thinking about maybe putting one together to get together and share experiences. How are things happening? How are we dealing with things? So just some ideas there. So folks, I see it's at about the top of the hour, and some people I know have to leave, but I'm going to leave you with this question. And this sort of came up periodically throughout the past hour. What are the benefits this crisis has to offer? The blessings that we were starting to mention. And I really want to thank each of you for being here. Thank you for spending your time this past hour with us. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being coaches. Thank you for being courageous and doing the work that you do. And if anybody wants to contact me for any reason, feel free. So look at all you beautiful faces out there. I finally got the full screen of everybody's faces because I took down my other big screen. So thank you all for being here. If there's any questions, I'm happy to stay on for a few minutes. Or if there's anything anyone wants to say.
Thank you, Lynn.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Stay healthy, everybody.
Absolutely. It's so wonderful to see all these faces, which we don't usually see. I'm using a lot more of Zoom in classes that I teach, and students are enjoying it so much. And I'm seeing some names that I haven't seen in a long, long time. So that's exciting too. So thank you all. Yes, reflection and reinvention, right. Yes, we do have the opportunity. A lot of those inequities in society are really coming to the foreground, aren't they? As we're going through this and people are paying attention. Thank you, Debbie. I will. I will think about putting up that group for coaches. Great. So everyone have a wonderful day. And I look forward to seeing you all again in perhaps happier times. How's that?
Sounds great.